Vasquez Boyd. Together we'll bring you information about the happening in the lovely arts community, events you should know about, and interviews with local artists and writers. On Friday and Saturday, April 24th and 25th, Charlotte Street Foundation presents Open Studios Weekend 2014. This unique event invites the public into the studios of Charlotte Street's resident artists, spotlighting the work of over 50 artists, including 22 visual artists, 9 performing artists and ensembles, and new this year, 4 writers. Yay, writers. We need love and spaces, too. My guests this evening are Patrick Alexander, a facilities manager of the Charlotte Street Foundation, and 2 second-year studio residents, Madeline Gallucci, whose recent exhibitions include Divine at Lady Vulcus, Tea Time Zine Showcase and Objet, Boutique Pop-Up Shop at Paragraph Gallery, and Eric Dobbins, artist, illustrator, founder, and former director of Wonder Fair Gallery Shop and Studio in Lawrence, Kansas, current co-director of Field Publishing, and assistant director of Grand Arts. Guys, welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Thank you.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Hey, Patrick, give us a history of Open Studios.
Charlotte Street Foundation started the Urban Culture Project about 12 years ago, and we started the studio residency program in downtown buildings that we worked out agreements with management companies to get very cheap to free space to offer this free space to artists. And the way that we made that was they're up in these big giant corporate buildings, but no one was seeing these little artists work up in their spaces. So we thought, what better way but to invite the public to come up and see where the magic's made. So it started that we, every twice a year. Now we do it as a one weekend thing.
What was the specificity to go downtown as opposed to another part of the city?
This was a whole idea that started. This is pre-Power and Light. This is when downtown was, there was not much happening. It was banks, 5 o'clock dead downtown. So the idea was there were these businesses closing with the whole vacant floors. Why not put something active in there? Why not let some artists get a little messy in there, give them the corner office?
Sure. How does the selection process work for having artists come in?
We do an open call. It's a national call, actually, through Call for Entry. Mm-hmm. And what we do is you submit your work, your intents, your goals, and strategies for 1 year, and then there's a selection panel, which is basically regional curators, artists, academia, that then vote through these pieces, on the submissions online, score them, and then we invite them in.
Are you looking for artists at a certain period in their careers, or is it all disciplines and all emerging mid-career later?
That's a good question. I think the history of the program was a lot of it seemed to be, it was a lot of recent graduates of the Kansas City Art Institute, what was happening. In the last few years, I've noticed that we've doubled our applications, and it's now going national. And so that are getting their master's and then coming back to Kansas City, who want to get back into this community. They miss it. It was affordable living. And then you've got ones who are kind of in between. You know, what am I going to do? I just got my BFA, and I might go to graduate school, but I just need a little bit of time to get away from the teacher element and just really experiment.
You need to really just start working. And when you say double, I mean, what kind of numbers are you talking about for applicants?
Last year we had 102 applications. The year before that it was 68. The year before that was 40.
Wow, that's enormous. Madeline, what kind of space do you have?
My space is in Town Pavilion. I'm in one of the more open spaces. There are a few that are more closed off, some of the writers have
it. What do you mean by open spaces? So is the layout similar to the way it was when it was still being used as a corporate business?
Roughly. It's been a little bit more torn apart since then.
Sure. I've been there, but for our viewers' understanding of what this is all about.
Yeah, it's strange going in there every day because you kind of feel like you're going into work, like you go into the shiny marble like foyer and take the elevator to the 6th floor, and all of a sudden you start hearing like Gamelan down the hall, and you're walking towards this like very like unknown creative space, which is exciting to come into every day.
Sure. And Eric, what about you? What kind of space are you having?
Also in Town Pavilion. Also.
What is the address of Town Pavilion, by the way?
That is 1100 Walnut. We're on the 6th floor there.
And where is the second space?
The second space is called Partnership Place, excuse me, and that's at 9th and Grand, 906 Grand. Mm-hmm. That's in the UMB thing. Arts KC is also in there as well. So we have the 13th floor.
I see. Eric, so tell us about your space.
It's got a ping pong table.
Excellent.
As well as a community screen printing setup.
I was going to ask you, aside from the ping pong table, what kind of access to certain things do you have that are mutually shared by all the residents? Is there equipment that's used, or do you come in with your own equipment? How is that function?
Typically bring in what we need to make our work, and then as everyone sort of operates as a community and sort of in this shared space, then a lot of materials and facilities are shared there.
Sure. Madeline, what is your goal while you're in a UCP studio space? What are you hoping to do?
Well, that's a really broad question. I feel, well, every year at the beginning of the residency, you fill out a goals worksheet. It just kind of asks a couple questions of, like, what you hope to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like when I start in the residency, I mean, even I'm very productive, but I always feel like I look back at the goals of, like, wow, like, that was kind of interesting, but that's what I wanted to do. But I think that I'm most focused on creating a body of work, maintaining connections, creating new personal mm-hmm. and professional connections.
What kind of work are you making, Madeline?
I'm making a lot of paintings and drawings right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about where that is going. I just did a few new digital prints
mm-hmm.
That will be at Open Studios, as well as some custom iPhone cases.
Excellent. So there's going to be things that you've created that's available for the public to go check out. Excellent. And what about you, Eric? What have you been working on? Sure. What have you been working on?
Working on Tic Taco, the original big strap taco watch.
Explain.
It's a paper toy that's sold in a bundle of about 25.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of tells you when it's crunch time, I suppose.
Okay.
On top of Tic Taco, also working on a zine called Here's a Worm. It's like an interactive little booklet, narrative-based. I've got a larger mural on display, a CMYK paper print, some pets.
Nice.
Printed pets for you. You come.
What about live pets? Do you bring live pets into the space? Can people bring in their pets?
No.
Okay. Just
animals
check.
Are enough. Artist animals.
The animal of the artist is plenty. Yeah. You know, Eric, what's it like working on art in an office building? Is it like a strange, conundrum?
Yeah. There's a certain hum, I think, in the mm-hmm. air, but I really enjoy it. You know, it's isolated at night. No one is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's great being downtown. When I first got the studio a couple years ago, just went out for a wander kind of in the evenings just to sort of soak up the area around me, and it's changed quite a bit since I started, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The better.
Yeah, I agree. Downtown Kansas City was, for quite a long time, was pretty dead, but I think things like this has really helped to rejuvenate it, and I think it's also allowed other people to come up with other ideas, saying, well, we don't have to disappear at 5 o'clock and go home. We can actually stay down here and do more, and of course, P&L helped with that, but there's certainly a lot more beyond that contrived location. Madeline, what is the relationship with the office tenants in these buildings? Do you encounter them at all?
Usually by the time I get down there, a lot of them are gone. We do share the floor with the fitness facility, so sometimes you run into a few post-workout office tenants. But other than that, it's been minimal. I actually have had more interaction with security guards helping me either get stuff up the freight elevator, or I talk to them when they're making their rounds, or actually in the custodial crew as well. I feel like I interact with them more.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask, what are the logistics of bringing in materials? I mean, a lot of people will just come in with laptops or just small things, but you're working on big pieces, and Eric, you're also working on big pieces, and there's a lot going on in there, and the scale of which is pretty enormous, so you have to be practical, and they don't always fit into those little passenger elevators. So how does that all function?
Well, there is a secret elevator that you don't have access to. So there's a very large industrial dock with a freight elevator, which is a whole other world into the scene, the corporate underground, which is pretty great. And like Madeline said, the interactions with the staff, it's pretty funny and amazing.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's educating them. A lot of times they're just like, what are these hippies doing up here?
And do they still use the word hippies?
They did. I heard it yesterday.
Good Lord. Really?
And then,
I mean, I know there's a lot of facial hair.
They're like, they sure do have a lot of trash. And they're like, you know, and we've had problems at other places where there was some dumpster diving going on, as, you know, sort of the artists.
But that's part of the DIY experience for a lot of artists.
No,
I mean, I would think we're doing them a favor.
But a corporate, you know, somebody paying off some company opportunity to come in and demo and clear mm-hmm. out some things, and then all of a sudden it's sneaking back up into the building. It's humorous.
You know, Patrick, how are the studios arranged? Are certain disciplines put next to one another, or is there a randomness when you assign people space?
We take a lot of time, I think, really thinking about who to place who by who. Mm-hmm. We try to mix some, you know, more mature artists with some younger ones, just so they have those grassroots sort of organic bondings, and
sure.
also hopefully, you know, there might be some mentorship that happens organically in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, we also, you know, we've got music performers, choreographers, dancers, so it's like making sure that they're not right next door to the writers. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of important.
Yeah, we
so
like
we
quiet.
Do little, we do interviews with them after they're selected and kind of try to find out who they are. So it's kind of like producing, like you know, the Real World TV show for a year. It's like who's uh-huh. going to get along with who?
And there's the confessional booth, and people
Absolutely.
Come to you and say, "God, I hate this person."
I think so.
I think a confessional booth is actually a good project. Is that, you know, Madeline? Is this kind of similar to being in art school a little bit?
It is really nice, actually, to come out of school. I graduated in 2012 and immediately went into the Charlotte Street Residency.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely a lot of parallels with, you know, working side by side. And I actually work next to my best friend. We live together, too. So it's really interesting to kind of...
And you're still friends and like each other?
Still
That's
friends
awesome.
And like each other. So it's great. But we also... and there are quite a few people that graduated with us that
sure.
still kind of... But we... all have different schedules, so mm-hmm. it's interesting the people that I actually do interact with. Like, I'll see Eric a lot, who I was never in school with or anything like that, and is a total different level professionally than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to see people at different levels. I guess it's kind of, I mean, it's like art school in the sense that you're, like, working next to each other, but without the stress of art school.
Sure, you don't have to worry about grades. But actually, this is more stressful because it's actually real life.
I was going to say, this week, I find, like, it really looks like art school because I've been over at the Art Institute all last week promoting the studios and, like, watching them. It looks like they're in college getting ready for this big weekend, like, scrambling, and they're all stressed out and, like, trying to make, you know, they look like little elves getting ready.
Exactly.
To make you all happy.
Complete dump.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
I know. You guys better do some cleaning up because you're going to have a lot of people. Patrick, how many people are you anticipating coming this weekend?
Last year we counted about 700 people came through.
That's a lot of people
Friday.
For downtown on a Friday night.
Absolutely, for art. That's
yeah, absolutely.
Great, you know, Friday night tends to get a little bit more activity. It's a little more social because we have the performances going on. So you've got dance and the music. So that brings in the friend of a friend of a friend and their family as well.
That's
and then Saturday it seems to be a little more interactive, but it's just like a great time if you just really want to start some relationships and
mm-hmm.
a conversation with the artist. If you're interested in collecting art, that's a great time.
Absolutely, and it's a great time to find out what you like and who you like, and it's a really good opportunity because I visit it all the time, and to walk into the studios and have a conversation with people, and it's like going into your home a little bit because people set it up. It's very homey.
Mm-hmm.
They bring a lot of personal effects, and you walk in there, and you're not just kind of looking at the space and walking out. You're actually spending time in there and hanging out.
And that's a big, that's a big part of this
amazing.
Whole open studios. Is like, this is normal. Everyone should have a relationship with an artist, and like, it should be a normal thing to go visit a studio. It's a really great investment.
I agree. You know, I'm going to take a little musical break right now, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking about it. So we'll be right back. Back. I'm Blair Schulman. You're listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My guests this evening are Patrick Alexander, Facilities Manager of the Charlotte Street Foundation, Madeline Gallucci, and Eric Dobbins, who are two residents of the studio residency. Eric, I wanted to ask, how are you finding yourself looking at another artist's craft differently by being in such close proximity? Because when you're an artist, you tend to work in your studio, and it's kind of this private space and everything, and now you're surrounded by all these people who are doing different things. How is this affecting your own craft?
Totally blown away. every time I go up there and sort of do a little walk around. You know, Madeline and Megan Stracy are both working pretty actively, and Megan's work is so different than mine, but still connected. She does outfits? How do you describe it?
Wearables?
Yeah, wearables. Wearables, of course.
Right.
And just humming away on the sewing machine there, and everyone's got their own flow and their own style.
Sure.
But it definitely creeps into sort of how I approach my work, certainly, and it's mostly influenced my commitment level and sort of the regularity of my sort of relationship with the studio. Just seeing people there inspires me to be there myself and to keep working.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself spending more time, because you have this place and you're dedicated and committed to it, do you find yourself going there more often than if you were in a different kind of studio environment? How is the commitment level with this?
Well, you know, I realized, or I think maybe you even told me, Madeline, was like, even if you're not quite sure what you're going to be doing tonight, just check in. You know, go to your studio, pop in there, check in on projects that are sort of in progress, and, you know, just little words of wisdom like that are floating around, and you kind of grab onto those, and it certainly keeps you coming back.
Sure. So not only are you just working on your own work, you're kind of hanging out with your fellow artists and offering words of encouragement and giving each other advice and little critiques and just supporting one another, which I think is imperative to the arts in this city. Patrick, I wanted to ask, tell us more about the expectation over the course of a residency to complete or attain a certain goal.
Well, I think we try to better this program every year, and so we do feedback. We ask for feedback from the residents each year when they're leaving, exiting, and so that we can improve more. So, like a couple years ago, we found mentors for each resident. They're volunteer mentors, so they are encouraged to meet and work on those goals and strategies. Whatever that goal is for the year, you know. And then we also are now doing monthly meetings on Monday nights, where we have them do all the residents do a presentation, so it's kind of working on some professional development skills as well. So we're, like, clearly talking about their artwork, and also getting that feedback from the other ones, and making announcements about their shows. And it's really just trying to make this community inside of the place. But I think the big part is really them exploring what they want to be making,
absolutely,
and not being told what to do. You know.
Great. I'd like to talk about the Open Studios weekend a little more. Tell us, how is this organized? How have you figured it out? Because it's over the course of 2 days, and there's so many people doing so many things. What are the logistics of lining this up so that everybody has an opportunity? Everybody who comes to visit has an opportunity to see as much as possible.
Right. Well, that's a great question. It's a lot of fun to put all that together.
I could imagine.
One thing that's been helpful are we've been making programs, and so these are given to all the guests, and so there is it can be downloaded as a PDF, so that people get down there, they know which studios they want to go to. It has a map of downtown, where to park, how to get around. We've got volunteers from UMKC, the Art Institute, are helping people get them into these buildings, get them up the elevator, so it makes it so user-friendly.
It is. And
a big part of what we felt like that was a challenge.
I agree, because I've been there, and it's really terrific to have people standing in the lobby, because you walk into these enormous office buildings, especially Town Pavilion, which is kind of massive and lots of marble everywhere, and it really kind of freaks you out, especially there on a Friday night. So to have someone standing there and saying, oh, you're here for this, and here's where you can go, and blah, blah, blah. And they even take you up in the elevators and everything.
Absolutely. And then we strategically have performances at certain times so that, like, those are hitting between 7 and 9 o'clock. So
tell us about some of those performances.
Well, we've got 5 choreographers in the program right now. So the Open Studios is a big night for the performers, because they've been working all year long, and this is their big showcase for all of them to, like, invite the public and see, this is what I've been doing for the last 9 months. So we've got Jane Gotch, who's just a recent Charlotte Street Performative Award winner.
That's right. Congratulations,
Jane. So she's debuting a new piece that she choreographed, which is at 9 o'clock? No, sorry.
I
too
think
many things. 8:30. So we have her. We've got Aaron Monks. We've got Casico Dance and Chadi Okori, who are both choreographers who collaborated together. So they're doing a piece. And so it's every half hour. in the dance room in Town Pavilion, they will be doing these presentations.
That's right. I see at 9:30, Black House Collective is going to present it.
And then Black House always, what they do is an eight-week workshop
right.
in this residency. So it's like a mini residency in
sure.
the residency. And so this is always their big debut. So they brought in an international composer. They will do this thing at 9:30 where it allows all the other artists to kind of walk away from their studios and come in and kind of an after-party sense.
Sure. You know, Eric, this is your second year, and you too, Madeline, but Eric, you've from last year, what kind of people have come to visit your studio? I mean, it's very different than when you're in a gallery setting, and I think there are people with a lot of specificity in mind where they go into a gallery and they're looking for one specific thing, and they go into the space where they're encountering many different things. So what kind of people are you meeting who come to visit your studio during this event?
Oh, friends and family, of course.
Oh, of course.
You know, actually a few members of the custodial staff from Town Pavilion made it up last year.
Excellent.
They were just kind of laughing at me when I'd arrived sort of in sweatpants at 10 o'clock at night, seeing what I make and really enjoying it. But a huge cross-section of the Kansas City community come out.
Sure.
It's really... wonderful.
Madeline, do you think the visitors that come to this are slightly different than the people who might be involved in First Fridays and things like that? Do you think there's a different element of visitor that's coming to these events?
I think that Open Studios is a really good entry point for some people that maybe haven't, like Pat said, like maybe gone to an artist studio before,
mm-hmm.
Just because there is so much happening and it feels like an art opening, but maybe feels like a little bit of a almost like a scavenger hunt or going from one thing to another, and I think it's a little bit more friendly than a typical gallery setting.
A little less formal?
A little less formal, and I feel like it's a lot less intimidating as
sure.
well, because sometimes you can walk in white walls, which is like work on the wall can be very, you know, if you don't know too much about something,
mm-hmm.
or you might feel intimidated if you don't know
sure.
A lot of background, but I think it's a really good opportunity for that entry, and I think a lot of people who enjoy First Fridays or anything like that would love to come to this event.
Sure. It's a big surprise, too, because when you go into a gallery, it's very work-specific. You're seeing one or two kinds of work, and you go into these two buildings, which are actually within walking distance of one another, so for everybody who wants to visit, just keep that in mind. You can see many, many different disciplines.
There's all sorts of stuff. I mean, just from drawing to painting, Rudy is in the corner making really tiny little drawings, and we have Jennifer Williams in Town Pavilion who's making very dark work. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, then the dancers and musicians and alone bring such a diverse crowd.
Sure, and then the writers who are a lot of fun. You know, people like Will Meyer and Melina Neat and David Wayne Reed and Kent Salzerback. I'm sorry, can't I pronounce
Slaughterback.
Slaughterback.
Which is cool. They're going to be doing Saturday at 2 o'clock. So over at Paragraph of Project Space, which are our galleries across the street from Town Pavilion, we also... run the Paragraph series, and this is the new thing that we're letting the residents actually, they propose shows in those galleries, but the writers are going to be doing readings on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, and there's a series curator talk at noon with Jessica Baruski,
yes.
And that's also going to be at Paragraph, which is around the corner at Paragraph Galleries, 23 East 12th Street. So, Patrick, how long are the residents in place for?
So, what happens is they come in. The applications are like right now, it'll be May 12th is when they're the deadline. They find out in June. They get to move in September,
mm-hmm.
and they have 1 year September the next year.
So the applications are open now for May 2015, is that correct?
Yeah, 2014-15.
Sure, and if people are interested in finding out more, where can they go to download it?
You can always go to charlottestreet.org,
mm-hmm.
and that will tell about all the crazy things that we do, from exhibitions to rocket grants to studio residency. But so on there you could find studio residency, and then that would also link it up to the blog of the studio residency, which is charlottestreetstudios.wordpress.com. And then also you can go to callforentry.org
mm-hmm.
to find the actual online application for the residency for next year.
And like we said earlier, you're looking for all kinds of people at all different stages in their art practice.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's usually contemporary art is what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for our two artists visiting us, if our listeners want to find out more about your work, Eric, where is your website?
You can see my personal work at ericdobbins.com, and then my Rocket Grant-funded publishing venture is fieldtrippublishing.com.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Madeline?
And then you can find me at MadelineGallucci.com.
Spell Gallucci for all our listeners.
G-A-L-L-U-C-C-I. It's like Gucci with an all.
Oh, we love Gucci, and we love all of it. Well, this is great. I love having you guys on the show. Give us, Patrick, the addresses of the two locations, please.
Sure. Well, first I'm going to give you the actual, where you can get the program again. That's Charlotte Street Studios. WordPress.com, and there you can have a download PDF of the whole program, and it showcases every artist that's in the program. But we are located, you can always go to Paragraph Gallery, which is at 23 East 12th Street. Mm-hmm. We'll have the programs and guides to get you across the street to 1100 Walnut, and then also to 906 Grand.
Great. And at that time of night, it's pretty easy parking, and it's really nice to walk around, and I think the weather is actually supposed to be really good. And I just want to encourage our listeners who are planning on visiting to just have an open mind and don't go with any specific agenda. Just kind of walk around and just see and discover, because that's the whole point of the residency, in my opinion, is to allow people to just kind of blossom with what they're doing, and you go in with one idea and you walk out with another idea, and it's like, this is all very exciting. Well, as usual, we are running out of time. It never fails. So, Maria, why don't you tell us who is on store for next week?
I'd like to thank our guests tonight. Yes.
Oh, sure. Well, let's thank our guests, Madeline Gallucci, Eric Dobbins, and Patrick Alexander. And also, Maria, tell us who's on next week.
Next week, I'm going to mix it up. I'm bringing in writer, studio gallery owner, Luis Garcia, and that's going to be next week. That's the 30th, yeah?
I think it is. Yes, it is the 30th. And I want everyone to stay tuned from ARC to Microchip. Then at 7 p.m. is L.A. Theater Works. At 8 p.m. is Chamber Music with Dr. Mike. And 11 p.m. is Vibes with Val. For Maria and myself and Patrick, Madeline, and Eric, I want to thank everybody for listening to Art Speak Radio. And on the 25th, I want to say happy birthday to Mom. Thanks, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week.